Hallelujah. Let us all offer Lord's Day worship service on August 6, 2023, with a devout heart to our Heavenly Father. Let us pray together. Today, on this holy Lord's Day, we come before you to give you glory, praise, thanksgiving, and prayer. Claim our minds and our hearts so that we may have heard that are able to offer a living sacrifice that is holy and acceptable to you in spirit and in truth. When reflecting on the past week, observing the state of the world, the action of those who claim to believe, and the condition of the church, it becomes evident that grace has been abundantly lacking. This indicates that it may be the last days. Without your grace, we will not be able to keep our faith when the rest of our sins are committed. Please give us the grace you gave to Noah, the grace you gave to Lot. Please purify our heart and awaken our spirit so that we may eagerly await the final grace that you bring when you come. Grant us all the precious gift of receiving your gracious interventions. May we always examine the place and the measure of our faith, filling it with the word where it should be and taking away from it where it should not be. May we watch and pray each day to do only what you want us to do, and may you grant us your wisdom and counsel to fulfill the mission you have given us. Please give us great grace today through your precious word. We ask this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. Today, scripture reading is Psalm chapter 4, verse 7 to 8. Psalm chapter 4, 7 to 8. I'd like to read. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than when the grain and the new wine abound. In peace I will both lie down and sleep, for thou alone, O Lord, dost make me to dwell in safety. This is God's word. Today, the sermon title is, What is the great grace we need to receive in our heart? What is the great grace we need to receive in our heart? The Book of Psalms is a collection of the poems dedicated to God by dozens of authors over a period of 1,000 years from the Exodus to the return from captivity in the 5th century BC. Of the 150 total Psalms, 101 are attributed to an author. And the Bible records that the 73 of them were written by David himself. This is very awesome, right? Furthermore, the psalm he wrote revealed David's faith in God and how it was. His psalms are not abstract, but they candidly confess the experience of God's guiding hand and love accompanying and intervening in every aspect of his life amidst his own faith and experiences. But what his psalm have in common is that in moments of the gratitude and joy, in times of anxiety, tribulation, and pain, he rely on God to the end and pray to God. And even when his prayers were delayed or unwanted things come to him, he would immediately turn around and seek forgiveness from God through an honest confession of sins and repentance before God. Even if God gives him answers that he does not want, his faith and hope in God does not weaken, and he accepts them with gratitude, experiencing God's love for him even in the midst of them, and his peace, joy, and gratitude are unbroken in his heart, unshaken at any point. These psalms, his confessional faith, resonate with all believers in later generation, giving us pause to consider how we should pray to God, what kind of faith and relationship we should have with God. And in the end, they clearly teach us that there is only one God, Jesus Christ, on whom we can rely and follow. In fact, after David was anointed by the prophet Samuel, he lived a truly life-threatening life of pursuit until his death. After killing Goliath, he spent 10 years on the run from King Saul, fleeing from Judah to Palestine. When Saul died, his son Ishbosheth became king and waged war against David. Conflict between subordinates, between the Joab and Abner, plagued David. And there were constant wars with the neighboring nations. There were wars with Palestine, Moab, Aram, Edom, and Ammon. Most crucially, he was severely chastised by God for his transgression with Bathsheba. He lost a son, and as Nathan has cursed, the sword was not cut off in his household. There was incest and subsequent stabbing among his half-brothers, and Absalom rebelled. Many of his henchmen turned against him. His son Absalom and relations with his concubine in broad daylight, and was forced to flee to Jerusalem to escape his eyes. David, who had loved Absalom as his own, was overwhelmed with grief at his death, as one who has lost everything. Later, his first son, Adonijah, rebelled. His lifelong companions, Abiathar the priest, and Joab, the commander of the army, betrayed him and joined him in his rebellion. And in the end, they too were put to death. In short, at the end of his life, only Bathsheba, the prophet Nathan, and Solomon remained. Perhaps if we were in David's places, we would be tempted to grumble and complain against God, to give up believing God and return to the world. But in the midst of this tribulation, David knew what he was supposed to do before God, and he did it. He brought back the Ark of the Law, which had been taken by the Palestinians during the time of the Eliah the priest, Eli the priest, after 100 years, and prepared everything for the building of the temple of God. All these preparations were not made in peace. But in the midst of the war, tribulation. David confessed in the 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 14, "Now behold, with great pains I have prepared for the house of the Lord." The word is "with great pains," here is Hebrew, is "oni," which means suffering due to war. In the midst of the many battles that David fought over his life, he set aside the spoils of victory for the temples. It was precisely because God gave him great favor that David was able to carry out God's will without losing his faith in God. It was precisely because David's prayers to God were unceasing. As we walk through this world, we stumble, fall, and harassed by many troubles and worries. There are times when it seems like there is no way to take another step. There are times when we can't take a deep breath. At such a time, people say many things. They say that even heaven has abandoned you. You hear the sarcastic remarks about God not helping you. This is how Satan tried to mobilize the people during the times of suffering to instill hopelessness and distrust in God, causing them to stray from the path of faith. However, in each of these crises, we see that rather than siding despair or resentment toward God, David overcome every crisis by being confident that God will help him. Amen. This is because he had a strong faith that God never turns away from the cries of his people and will always answer them. According to the today's scripture, Psalm chapter 4, verse 1, David confessed like that. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness, thou hast relieved me in my distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. David clung to God, remembering how God had given him breathing room in the midst of his pain and suffering when he felt immobilized. The word for linear tree here is Hebrew is lahav, which means to make room. He confessed that if he lives with righteousness before God and in deliverance, firmly believing that God considers him righteous, he is assured that God will surely respond. And he talk about at the Psalm chapter 4, verse 3, but know that the Lord has set apart the godly man for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. The Lord hears when I call to him. David had not forgotten that God has a special love for those who have an unwavering faith in him. Let's look at the Psalm chapter 34, verse 15. He confessed like that. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. And also Psalm chapter 91, verse 15, the Bible says, he will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. Hallelujah. Those who live with this assurance of answered prayer will never despair or sin in the midst of any crisis or hardship. We have nothing to present to people God, but we can be sure that if we pray to God the Father in the name of Jesus, on the merit of Jesus, he will surely answer us. Jesus, teach us, talk to us in John chapter 16, verse 24, until now you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask my name right now. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be made full. Hallelujah. Dear saints, may we believe that God is hearing the prayers of each of us today. That the God who had chosen to use me to accomplish his will has not abandoned me as I am. That no matter how desperate and hopeless a place we are in, God is there to help us and hear our prayers. So we must run to Jesus, trusting to the end in the God who understands me, who is on my side. Who will advocate for me? How many death threats did the Apostle Paul receive from the people of Israel as he shared the gospel of Jesus? How many times did they tell him he was crazy? How many times did they slander him? How many times did they criticize him? No one understood his hurt. He just asked God and Jesus for help. And every time he was able to experience the love of Jesus. He confessed to the church member of the Romans. And in the Romans chapter 8, verse 33 to 35, he talked like that. Who will bring a charge against elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is who died. Yes, rather who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercede for us. Amen. When David faced the difficulties and the hardships, he sought God's presence rather than trying to solve everything on his own. He ran to the God who oversees all things. He understood that to receive the all answer from God, it was crucial to seek a right relationship with him. Therefore, he offered sacrifice of righteousness to God, knowing that it was of utmost importance. Let's look at the Psalm chapter 4, verse 5. Offer the sacrifice of righteousness and trust in the Lord. The first one, you have to be offered the sacrifice of righteous. A sacrifice of righteous is when we take control of our heart and lives, repent of our sinful content and actively come to God to restore a right relationship with him. When we do, he will do good things for us, great blessings. When we are in our iniquity and unrepentant, the Lord turned his face away from us. Repentance is the only way to turn his face back toward us. Let's look at the Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2. The scripture said, "But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear." It is only when God turns his face and see us that we can be saved. According to the Psalm chapter 80, verse 49, Psalm chapter 80, verse 19, O Lord God of hosts, restore us, cause thy face to shine upon us, and we'll be saved. Thy face to shine upon us, the time we'll be saved. So David saw the face of God in all his tribulation and adversity. In the today's scripture, the Psalm chapter 4, verse 6, he confesses right there. Many are saying, who will show us any good? Lift up the light of thy countenance upon us, O Lord. All he wants was for the God to turn his face toward him and shine upon him, so that he could know and receive the blessing of grace and peace from God. Let's look at the Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 to 26. God clearly talked to us. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. When the God, his face shine on us, we can be gracious to us. 26, the Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. God give you peace. Indeed, it may seem like we are facing difficult challenge. However, let us not only focus on the towering mountains of adversity before us, but also believe in the faithfulness, promise, and the protection of God who has made a covenant with us beyond those obstacles. Instead of relying on human wisdom and the schemes Let us place our confidence in the very real salvation and the blessing that come from God. Truly, we must have an unwavering faith in the fact that God will never forsake those who hope and rely on Him. This is why, even when David found himself surrounded by millions of enemies facing mortal dangers, he could confidently declare that he had no fear at all. His confidence stemmed from his absolute trust in God's unfailing presence and protection. Hallelujah. Let's look at Psalm chapter 3, verse 6. He confessed right there, "I will not be afraid of 10,000 of people who have set themselves against me round about." And according to the Psalm chapter 56, verse 4, "In God, whose word I praise, in God I have put my trust, I shall not be afraid. What can mere man do to me?" Dear saint, there is a grace that you and I must receive from God through the realization of David. The first is the greatness God has planted in my heart. Today's scripture, Psalm chapter 4, verse 7, "Thou hast put greatness in my heart." Thou hast put greatness in my heart, more than when their grain and the new wine abound. This means the source of our greatness, joy, is the Lord. According to the Psalm chapter 16, verse 11, "Thou wilt make known to me the path of life, in thy presence in fullness of joy, in thy right hand there are pleasure forever." Hallelujah. I'd like to read one more time. "In thy presence in fullness of joy, in thy right hand there are pleasure forever." Before the Lord means the face of God. God gives His joy to those on whom He shines His face. That joy is a greatness that endures forever. Because we are promised this joy, this pleasure, we can praise God with the joy that comes from having the Lord shining His face at my side, no matter how terrible and difficult the reality is. This is a privilege of the believer. It is because these joys and the pleasures are set before us for eternity that advance the believers that have been able to endure so many hardships. We should remember Stephen's cry as he was stoned to death and the doors of heaven opened and he saw the Lord. In Acts chapter 7, verse 55, "But being full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed intently into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God." Stephen undoubtedly saw the Lord standing at the right hand of God, and he witnessed the eternal joy permitted by God's presence. It was because of the joyous revelation that he could embrace martyrs with great hurt. Let's look at the Psalm chapter 17, verse 15. "As for me, I shall behold thy face in the righteousness. I will satisfy with thy likeness when I awake." I will satisfy with thy likeness. The apostle Paul saw this joy, which is why he praised God with joy and thanksgiving, because the joy and the glory the Lord was giving him was incomparably greater than the suffering he was enduring for the sake of the gospel. According to the Psalm chapter 8, verse 18, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to reveal to us. Hallelujah. Today, the same, the joy and joy has been made available to you and everyone. It is the joy and the delight that come from reading, listening to, and understanding the Word of God. In Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16, Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16, Thy words were found, and I ate them, and Thy words become for me a joy and delight of my heart. I'd like to read one more time. And Thy words become for me a joy and delight of my heart, for I have been called by Thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Cling to word and meditate on it whenever I am struggling. In as much as the Father has allowed me to realize the word, I experience the peace that it gives me. Not only that, but I draw nearer to the Lord, and the joy of my spiritual fellowship with Him takes away all my cares and anxieties. Truly, this is the privilege of those who have received the words. As those who are received the final redemptive word, and we becoming recipients of joy and delight in the presence of the Lord. Let us look at the Apostle Paul. He was imprisoned because of the gospel, facing daily hardships and beatings, not knowing when he might die. Yet, despite all that, he write letter to the Philippians, who worry about him and pray for him from the outside. How he talked to them in Philippian church. In the Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 and 6 to 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Verse 6 to 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with the thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Though his body was confined in prison, he prioritized being a prisoner in the Lord in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. That's why he could rejoice even while in captivity. Second is the peace that comes from God. The second is the peace that comes from God. Today's scripture, Psalm chapter 4, verse 8, David confessed like that. In peace I will both lie down and sleep. For thou alone, O Lord, dost make me to dwell in safety. David is singing that even in the midst of extreme anxiety due to life-threatening situations, he is able to lie down and fall asleep in peace, because God is allowing him to rest in peace. In the Psalm chapter 3, verse 5, I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustains me. The Lord sustains me. And the Proverb chapter 3, verse 24, when you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. This peace that God gives is different from the peace of this world. Jesus said, John chapter 14, verse 27, Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. God give us peace that passes all understanding. If we receive God's grace, He will grant us peace no matter what circumstance and situation we find ourselves in. Look at the peace that Daniel, who was over 90 years old, he received. He also received the blessing of the strength too. In Daniel chapter 10, verse 9, God said, He said, O man of high esteem, do not be afraid, peace be with you, take courage and be courageous. That's because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. In the Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, in the Jesus is what? He is the Eternal Father and Prince of Peace. The laws of peace give peace all the time and in all place to those who love and trust in him. Hallelujah. Let's look at the 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16. The Apostle Paul prayed for the Thessalonian church to write that. Now may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all. Hallelujah. Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. In every circumstance. And Psalm chapter 29, verse 11. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Hallelujah. Amen. Have you had a troubled day? Let's pray to God with a liberated heart at the close of the day. Are we still looking for someone in this world to do us good? We may try to find the joy and peace in this world through material things or power, but they are not eternal. It is only for a moment. There is only one person who will be good to us at all time, and that is God. Not only can no one take away the joy and true peace that God gives us, but He is waiting to give us eternal joy and pleasure. We need to keep our eyes on God and rely on Him alone. With a liberated heart, we must offer up sacrifice of righteousness day by day so that His face is always turned toward us. May we never commit the sin of ceasing to pray, realize that this is the only way we will live forever, and may we live each day in gratitude for the blessings we receive. Amen. Let's pray together. Thank you for loving and praying for us today with your precious words. Please help us realize that until we reach your kingdom, we may inevitably face many trials and hardships in this world. May we understand that all those troubles and adversities are not a result of our sin, but a consequence of following and believing in you. As we seek you in everything and pray to our Heavenly Father, please help us firmly believe that you will never leave us alone. May we live our lives with unwavering faith in your constant presence. Whenever we encounter adversity, let us first diligently examine ourselves to find what is not perfect before the Father, and then offer a sacrifice of repentance and righteousness to the Father so that all our prayers may be answered by the Father. Above all, in the end of time, let us enjoy the joy and the true peace that you instill in us so that we may all be victorious in the face of Satan's temptation and persecuting through your word. We ask this is all our prayers and desires in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. I'd like to give the announcement, some announcement. The first one, I wish for all of you to be vigilant and prayerful so that the joy and the true peace, which is the grace that God brings to us in the end, may never be taken away from you. The second one is, I surely you do it. Please pray fervently for the final authorization, approval of the church. Amen. Let us close the service with the benedictions. Now, by the boundless grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the profound and immense love of our Father God, and the inspiration and the influence of the Holy Spirit, let us receive the eternal joy and true peace as the grace we must receive from God in the end times. May this blessing be upon every bowed head of the repentant saint in the church, in church, home, workplaces, and business forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah.